Hey, this is Mike.
Hey, this is Kaz, and you are listening to Two Broke Watch Knobs, the only watch podcast that knows you shouldn't kill yourself to raise the dead because you'll only end up joining them. You have made it all the way to episode 272. Hello. Good morning. Or evening? Holy shit. It's okay, we're recording this in the evening. Evening times. No.
He's lying. We're recording in the afternoon. My time.
Wait, what? Oh, God, that's right. Time. Time zones. Dude, time is a sphere. And it's relative on where you are in the sphere, man. Remember that time we tried looking up atomic time and I was like, it's the Earth's gravitational pull or something like that. That was in the high accuracy quartz episode.
And then a lot of you wrote in saying that we forgot a very important watch that I like even more now and I might want to buy. It's the new Marathon Navigator. So thank you all. Yeah. For writing in and reminding us that the new one has a pretty cool high accuracy, what is it, plus minus 10 seconds a year.
It meets the requirements. So yeah, if you didn't check out episode 271, we did a really, really fun deep dive on high accuracy quartz. We asked ourselves a lot of questions. We did a lot of discovery on the call. The reception to the episode has been great. It's definitely something I want to just kind of keep investigating, especially as we move into the new year and more watches get released, hence this episode. It's that time once again. Gather ye round, children. Gather ye round. It's Watches and Wonders time.
Everyone's doing it. It's time for predictions. We're just cashing in on that, milking that content for all we can.
Yeah. You know?
And we're going to run through some predictions and some... Did you hear that, by the way?
I did hear that. That sounded like a very jingle, happy jingle. What was that happy jingle?
That's a work phone. Don't worry about it.
I'm not just throw that shit. Just throw that. Just dip that shit in wax and throw it in the field, man. It's good.
It is a delightful little tone. we're gonna run through some of the brands that are exhibiting there. Yeah.
Did the recording timer just reset?
Reset? No, I don't think so.
Oh, it says 11 seconds on my screen.
Whoa, it says 2 minutes and 21 seconds on my screen.
Okay, let's just power through it. That's a bug.
Time is a sphere.
Time is apparently a sphere. Holy crap. That's a bug, StreamYard. Log that shit, man. Ugh. All right. But this is going to be a ton of... we're like the free StreamYard.
I know, right?
Can't even afford... it's like $40 a month. Like, oh no, that'll ruin us.
The mallard is laughing at us. The mallard...
This is going to be, God damn it. This is going to be a ton of fun. I'm going to stay focused here. Episode 227 or 272, excuse me, of the Two Book Watch Knobs podcast is thusly named Watches and Wonders 2024 predictions, parentheses. We were not invited. And I don't think we're ever going to be invited. We can probably break in. You want to break in with me?
Like I've said before, I would rather just go on a Swiss vacation with you and just...
Go on a Swiss vacation and just be like, oh yeah, I guess we could like stop into like Watches and Wonders or whatever. I guess we could like use the bathroom and like, you know, leave.
Or even during a time when there aren't, you know, hundreds of neck beardy watch journalists that caused the pricing of the hotels to go up in the area.
It would actually be amazing going to, you know, somewhere or going to an area where they have these watch fairs. I guess technically this is in Geneva or whatever, going, mm-hmm. but covering what it's like when there isn't a watch fair.
Yeah, it's probably very nice.
It's probably very pleasant. Still expensive, yeah. But probably very pleasant.
It is expensive. And even more expensive if you decide to buy a watch, which I would love to do if I ever make it there. I don't
That'd
know.
Be a even fun if, milestone.
Even if it's something like a mondaine, one of the new Swiss railroad watches.
You could buy a Casio in the airport.
That's true.
That counts. I bought a watch in Switzerland.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't buy a Swiss watch, but that's the idea. You know, we want to go through, you know, there's over 50 brands of Watches and Wonders. We want to, you know, chat through some brands that we like or have liked historically, maybe give some ideas on what we think would be happening for predictions, maybe talk through some things that have already been teased. I'm going to do my best, Michael, to remember to face forward and face my microphone because I keep turning my head away from it. I'm gonna stay forward.
It still sounds good. I'm gonna do my best to not, I don't know, have resting jerk face, which is what I suffer from.
You never have resting jerk face. Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
Take it back.
I look at myself on the thing and it's what it looks like.
That's your face. Cherish it. It's perfect. But let's do this. We should honor tradition. We're 272 episodes in. We're getting close to 300. We should do something for 300. I don't know. Ritual animal sacrifice. Checking our email. We can check the TVWS email on air. That would be, yo, if you all want to have a heart attack, you should jump into the TVWS email with us.
Especially if you're if you're an inbox zero kind of person like I am, where I use it. I use it to kind of keep up with my tasks. I can't look at ours. It's crazy.
It needs like a hoarder intervention.
Yeah.
Like that's not we'll just take an hour on Saturday and knock it out. Like, no, that shit will knock you out for the month.
Yeah. Like 8,000 unread last time I saw.
It's something like that. There's some people with 10,000 going, oh, fucking casuals. Get to five digits. Work out. Oh, we should do this for the 272nd time. Do you want to do a wrist check with me?
Let's do it. I can go first if you want.
Do it. Do it.
So I'm going to share the screen here so people could see. I'm wearing here we go, CWC shill incoming. He's bought. He's bought and paid for.
Listen, if he is, he's not sharing with me. And Michael, if that's the case, we have a serious issue. Where's my CWC check? There are no CWC checks. We just like CWC. Sorry, everyone.
My dog is just like having a cough attack in the hallway.
I thought someone was just shuffling. I just heard somebody shuffling in the back.
All right. So what we see here is the new CWC Sea so Falcon quartz chronograph. It's been a bit since I've enjoyed a nice quartz chronograph. And what we have here is technically a new release from them. They're pretty popular for reissuing their divers, be it the early 80s one or the SBS or the 87 or the Mellor 72, which are all watches that have shown up on the show at some point. But this is a new pilot's chronograph, basically. And they do have history with, building and providing pilot chronographs to the RAF, those popular asymmetric chronographs. But this thing is all quartz. You can get it with a 12-hour bezel for a second time zone, or you can get it with a dive bezel. So the one they sent me for review was the GMT bezel version that you see here if you're watching on YouTube. And I'm super into it. It's really hard to. It's
beautiful.
It's really hard to take off wrist. When this came out, some people thought it looked too crowded. There's just too much information, or the subdials are too cramped, and then you have excess information with the bezel. I think it's great. Posted a shot of this on our Instagram recently, and TJ, who is the former Navy pilot that was on the show. You should listen to that episode if you haven't. He said, something along the lines of, this is great. It has everything that I'd need to fly with. So that's a pretty cool endorsement.
The CWC. I don't find it too crowded. I find it's an instrument.
Yeah, that's a good
point. You know what I mean? Like it's supposed to have information on there that you would need for the specific function, which apparently in this case is, I don't know, piloting. I don't know anything about like planes or whatever, but like, it doesn't feel too crowded to me. I love the bezel though. The GMT bezel is the way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm bad at math, so even for a three hour difference, I keep track of you in Florida, and I don't know, it makes me feel nice. So, also dimensions wise, this is pretty similar to just their divers, and I think they have some dimensions here. So. Yep, 45 diameter, but that includes the pushers, the crown, and the crown guards. It's really more like a 40, which is, I think, the same with pretty much all their divers. Mm. Only 11 millimeters thick. Inside is the Ronda 5030D, a jeweled 13 jewel quartz chronograph, and it feels
That's pretty sweet.
It feels fantastic. I don't know the accuracy. I think we were trying to find accuracy information before.
Yeah, we were trying to do that before. I'm not going to do that on air again.
It's okay. We learned our mistake.
It did not work. Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, it's a quartz movement. It's very, very accurate. And
you saying the action on the buttons felt really, really good.
The action on the buttons do not feel cheap at all. Also, interacting with the crown is fantastic. There's no wobble on the crown. Every position that you, when you pull it out to the position, you almost have to kind of work for it. And when it happens, it's very positive and it's very just firm in the way that it gets there. So I really dig it. I don't know if that's a characteristic of this movement or just the way that the whole watch is put together, but it's killer. And I think price wise, what do we have here? This is £786 for this one. I think these prices contain VAT or include VAT. So I actually think when you add it to cart and, you know, ship to the States or something, it should be a little bit less.
Yeah. This thing is super cool. The fact that it's that Ronda movement with 13 jewels is super interesting. You and I were talking about this offline over the weekend. Like, so generally for quartz movements, or, you know, whether it's a three-hander or a chronograph movement, you're either going to have no jewels or you're going to have, like, you know, 1 to 3. The fact that there's, what, 13, you said?
Yeah, 13 jewels.
That's pretty cool. That indicates a lot of the moving parts in there are, you know, metal on metal to the point where you would need a jewel bearing to help reduce wear, support the movement of the watch and everything like that. That actually goes in line with what you were talking about, I think, offline. I don't remember if you mentioned it just now, but like when the minute hand on the chronograph totalizer goes, like it actually like clicks over. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah. The minute hand, it doesn't kind of hover in between the two marks as the chronograph seconds advance. So when the chronograph seconds hand reaches 12 to get to the next minute, at that moment it clicks over on the minute subdial, which is just the way a Speedmaster works. You know,
most quartz chronographs you're going to see, so like my Christmas chrono, for example, has a pretty ubiquitous solar quartz movement in there. When the minute totalizer moves, it does that slow like crawl, like you don't get to see it click over, it just kind of like slowly like goes over. So that's cool. That watch is a ton of fun.
Yeah, I might have to keep it. We'll see.
Oh no, I lost the return label. Damn.
Might have to keep it, but yeah, good work, CWC. It's nice to see a new watch, but I still like the reissue stuff, but I also like to see new stuff. Pretty cool.
In a brand ethos that's logical for them. It's not like, you know, an orange dial or like a purple dial. Like they just went crazy and just did like, here's a brand new watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like they tried to make an integrated, you know, bracelet steel sports watch. Which would I don't know what that would be like
for them. Know what that would look like from them, but that seems to be the new hotness right now.
Yeah, of course.
That said, if you haven't checked already, go and check out YouTube, you know, Tuberg Watch Subs on YouTube. I have a review of the Yema Urban Traveler on there. That I don't want to talk too much about that watch on here because I want folks to like experience the review itself, but I will say this. The dimensions are a lie. And that is a very unique integrated bracelet, stainless steel sports watch.
I'm looking forward to that review. Yeah.
I am not wearing it for my wrist check though. I'm not wearing that watch for my wrist check. That watch is on its way back to France, where cool. It came from. But is that my go? Is that my turn?
Let's go. Let's do it.
Boom. I'm wearing actually looks really nice on this like green, more manly than I am shirt. I'm wearing my little Seiko SNK 805. I literally always do this, Michael.
I think 805. I think you got it this time.
All right. My little SNK 805. So these older generation Seiko 5 SNK models are apparently discontinued. You can still find them on Amazon, like twice the price that were when I got mine. I paid like 60 or 70 bucks for this thing. now they're closer. Now this exact model are closer. I think it's closer to like 120 or 130. What I would suggest to folks is if you are interested in getting one of these really cool kind of old pilot-y, field-y watch kind of style SNK timepieces from Seiko, I would just say spend a little bit more and get one of the new Seiko's 5 sports style field watches. It's a jumble, but you could look at the Seiko midfield collection too. Yeah, these ones here. Perfect. Thank you, Michael. Everyone should watch YouTube. Watch us on YouTube to see how Michael just saved me there.
we got this on lock, man. This is such an educational show now with the visual aids,
you know? Right? Hell yeah. But I would encourage someone to just spend a little bit more and get something from this this newly revived Seiko 5 field sports line, or kind of what people are calling it, the midfield collection. I think the midfield collection specifically refers to watches in the 36 to 37 millimeter range. There are some field style watches in the Seiko 5 collection that are closer to like 39 or 40, but you'll get a nicer movement. You'll get more, you know, up-to-date Seiko manufacturing. Because if you buy a Seiko SNK 805 on Amazon, I cannot tell you how long it was probably sitting in a shipping container on the factory floor before it actually made it to your wrist. It could have been sitting there for years because they probably pumped these things out. This old one that I'm wearing now, it is rocking the now, I think, basically totally phased out Seiko 7S26 movement. Doesn't wind, it doesn't hack, but it definitely ticks. So it meets the general basic criteria of what one would very loosely classify as, you know, watch. you know, basically, I think the 4R35, right? That's what's, it's the, yeah, the 34 is the GMT, right?
I think, yeah, the 3-4, maybe the GMT, and then there's 3-5 and 3-6. And I think just the difference between those is, date or day date, something like that.
Yeah. These newer iterations of this of these field kind of pilot-y sports watch pieces from Seiko and the Seiko 5 line, they're going to have the 4R movements. Mm-hmm. On paper, it is a much nicer quality movement than the Seiko Seiko 7S26. Yeah, it doesn't have necessarily all the same sort of like historical background. I mean, you could say that one movement definitely informed the other movement. So I would say that. But I love my Seiko SNK. It is my first automatic watch ever. I have it here on a sort of honey colored ostrich leather strap. I think it looks pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. This watch was a very formative watch for me, so I thought it would be fun to just wear it for the episode. Wear it for Watches and Wonders predictions, man. Right?
That would be a fun watch to travel to Geneva with.
Oh, my God. Everyone would just be appalled.
What do you got, man? What are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Seiko 5. Oh, man. I have been condescendingly told numerous times when watch people see if I'm wearing my Christmas chrono, or if I'm wearing this, they'll be like, oh yeah, man, great value. Like an insult. Like, it just feels like an insult. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, yeah, great value.
That's almost as annoying as this watch is great for the money.
Great for the money? Oh yeah, workhorse. It's a workhorse, man. Yeah, thanks, dude. Thanks for just like being totally weird about it.
We'll do an episode one day on our favorite watch blogger tropes.
Oh my God, I'm so on. I mean, we have a quorum here. We can decide that will be a future episode.
Yeah, we can do that.
It has to be. Oh, we'll do our hair. We'll get like proper like influencer backgrounds, right?
Turtlenecks.
Mm-hmm. I could wear a turtleneck.
Just Leica cameras behind us for no reason. I don't use them. They're just there.
Oh, hello. Here are my Leicas. Been like, thanks, dude. I didn't ask, but that's cool, man. You know.
Whoa, that was loud.
What was that sound?
That was a cow.
Okay, that sounded like someone stepped on like a squeak toy or something.
That was a cow. Sorry about that.
Michael is currently under siege very slowly by cows. They have his home surrounded. They have his home surrounded, and they're coming for him.
Oh, wow. That was funny. All right.
That was really good. What's the cow think about the dollar value of my Seiko SNK?
He's like, what's up with that ostrich strap? I don't like the sound of that.
cow's not good enough for you, bro. I'm like, no. You know, cow, I just like the way ostrich. Like, I know, I hear you. Strap racist. I'm like,
oh my God. My best friend was an ostrich. Okay.
My best.
This is a great episode.
Oh, my God.
Should we do a quick housekeeping?
I mean, if we have to, yes. Let's unelegantly transition into housekeeping.
Yeah, let's do this.
Oh, man. Everyone, go and check out twobrokewashedknobs.com. We're always trying to keep pieces updated on there. I should correct myself. Michael is always busting his ass to keep pieces up there. And a huge shout out and kudos to every single member of the TBWS contributing staff. Huge shout out to Aaron Shapiro. Huge shout out over to Nathan Schultz. Huge shout out to Ben Anderson, Michael Pignante, obviously, and then our news contributor, Matt. In terms of recent housekeeping stuff right now, I you know, Michael, if the world could stop dropping hints about the Omega Railmaster to me, because I thought it was safe, but not even on my own fucking website.
Yeah, it's just front and center one day. Yep. This is a review that Aaron did on the now it's been out for a while, and it's
not for a bit. It's old hotness at this point.
But still kind of like we mentioned here, kind of a sleeper hit, and this is specifically the denim blue dial version.
That's exactly the one I wanted to.
Yeah, and it's on bracelet. It looks killer. This is exactly how I would wear this watch. I don't know if I'd get this color. I'd try to get one. It's not even a black. It's more of a charcoal,
like a dark charcoal gray. There's that, and they have a lighter, almost silver, lighter gray dial.
This is such an EDC photo.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I'm not mad. It's coming from Aaron.
Yeah,
like if I tried to do this, it would look ridiculous.
With like your kitchen knife.
it'd be like a butter knife that was all like fucked up and shit. And you're like, oh yeah, no, I bent it by accident. I'm really sorry. You know.
Yeah, this thing is a master chronometer. They're still out there, used. You can get some fantastic deals. And like a lot of the Omega stuff, this hasn't been updated in a very long time. So there's some speculation this year about you know, watches like the Railmaster, the Ceramic Seamaster specifically. So we might see these updated pretty soon.
You know what would be a fantastic way of ruining this watch? You know the perfect way Omega could like literally like shit in the yard of this watch?
What?
It's like two-tone. Two-tone would fucking ruin this watch.
They do that with a lot of they do that with the Seamasters, and they look kind of weird.
They look weird. It's not my favorite look. Sorry if you have one and you like it. That's awesome. Like, don't listen to us, but
one thing they also do, and they don't tell anyone, is they'll start making something, or they'll just randomly add a titanium version of a watch. And that would be cool with this watch.
Oh my God. If this thing came out in titanium,
yeah, it would be over. So over for you.
I would mail Omega my panties. I'm like, here you go. You earned them. You earned them, Omega. You earned my fucking panties, dude. Congrats, everyone.
What else? Oh, we also recently had this. Man, this was tough to resist, but I think I'm going to have to. This is the latest version of the Aquastar, the Benthos 500. We now have, so we got the H1 version reissue was around December last year. And that was a time-only version of famous Aquastar chronograph. Some people were kind of confused, but I thought it was an interesting, almost reinterpretation of an older model. Now what we have is a remake of the big bad Benthos 500 chronograph. Mm. What's interesting about this is that Aquastar partnered with Le Jouperet to create a mono pusher center mounted 60 minute chronograph for Aquastar. So this nice. Is just for them. So if you don't know what that is, you basically hit that pusher up at 2 o'clock, and that big orange hand that looks like a GMT hand, it's not. You basically add that hand to the movement, and it's going to count 60 minutes for you just using the main dial as your reference. So it's a chronograph without any subdials. It's also a chronograph without running chronograph seconds that you can see. So the seconds hand that you see there is just the regular running seconds. The only way you know that the chronograph, the only way you know the chronograph is running if it's, not at noon and it's like resting space.
Huge call out, because Michael and I were talking about this offline as well. Le Jupiler is the Swiss movement manufacturer, which is owned by Citizen, Citizen Watch Co. So amongst many brands that Citizen owns, I don't think people realize Citizen owns, So super cool. That's a fun movement. That's a really, really cool thing to see.
We got Matt put together a release for these new Breitling Aerospaces. I think we're going to talk about the aerospace a little bit later in this episode, but I have been to two separate Breitling ADs recently, and I've asked to see aerospaces, and they're completely cleaned out. One AD said, they just don't want them in the stores anymore. The other one said they're just not sending them anymore.
Weird.
And then both of those guys said, we think they're probably going to get discontinued. I hope not. I know this is kind of a special edition commemorative for this, the Breitling, the B-70 orbiter balloon that made some kind of voyage. I don't know a lot about balloons.
It's clearly popping corn to achieve lift.
If you want to send me a balloon podcast, more than happy to give it a listen. I don't know a lot about that, but I know this is pretty cool. I love this burnt orange dial with the Breitling orbiter little logo there at 3 o'clock. And we talked about this before, but I hope this is a sign that they're not going to be discontinued, that they're going to be maybe refreshed in some way, or just a general sign that they're still, important to Breitling.
I'm still alive. Still here.
I'd hate to see the aerospace go.
It would be a shame. It is interesting. It really does seem like the collection has not been getting a lot of love. So I'm very curious to see how things look for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And then we have this Timex. This is the Q Falcon Eye chronograph with I have to say this normal. But yeah, a Cote de Genève dial finet. I was trying not to say it with like a stereotypical French accent.
just own it, man. Dude, Cote de Genève. Just own it. It's fine.
I'll do it like that. Cote de Genève. This thing is fantastic.
We just lost half our listeners. Like, oh my God, heathens.
It's okay.
Unsubscribe.
It's okay. Dude, this thing is $219 and it has these hooded lugs that have that look. They have the look of an integrated bracelet sport watch.
I thought it was when I first saw it, yeah.
But you can, the spring bars are hidden under that apparently. So you can get that bracelet out pretty easily, get a, nylon strap if you want. Probably this would look really cool on leather, I'm sure.
It might look pretty badass on nylon. I didn't even think of that. That'd be kind of cool if there's enough room. Because sometimes with hooded lugs, there's not enough room to really fit a strap in there. So I guess it would depend.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But
this looks so high end for a Timex. It really, if you want, like, some people just want a baller looking stainless steel hunk of metal watch on their wrist, you can get that with this Timex, I'm sure, and it doesn't cost all that much.
No, I mean, also it's, I think you and I, we're making this joke before, and I think someone made it on this Slack channel that we're on, but like someone at Timex clearly discovered like a money printing machine, because it really feels like they're totally tapped into what they need to do to put out like a totally on fire release.
Yeah. It's almost like 5 years ago, some intern told people at Timex, hey, this is a thing called the internet. And this is
a thing called internet. And it's full of micro brands doing X, Y, Z. And Timex is like, oh my God.
Or even like look at Instagram and look at these vintage Timex collectors. Look at what they're into. And then we got the Marlin, that first one, which with the manual movement. And then I think since then it was just taken off. So
that was a really interesting experiment. Like that was I'm so glad to know that went well, because just based on some of the, like, not even controversy, just based on some of the weird reception in a small segment of the watch community based on that watch, I was afraid Timex was going to be like, oh, never mind.
You know what I
mean? Just because of the movement, because everyone was like, oh, it's a seagull movement, blah blah blah. It's like, so
I still don't know what it is. I have one here. I
think people deduce that it was some sort of seagull movement.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. It works. Okay.
It does still work. It does still work,
man. My wife has satellites in the sky, and we have like technology. Like I can go and read the news halfway across the earth. You're gonna sit here and complain there's a Chinese movement in a watch?
It's true.
Come on, man.
It's so true.
You know.
Oh,
so good. But yeah, go and check out the website, tubebookwatchknobs.com. Huge thank you again to all the contributing staff, and everyone send Michael your love and appreciation for keeping the site alive right now.
I got some work to do tonight, hopefully. We'll see how that goes.
Do you want to talk Watches and Wonders 2024?
Let's do it.
It's time for the joke I make every year. All watches, no wonders.
Here's the page. It looks the same as every year.
Certainly a website. I think there's 54. Yeah, okay, 54 brands that are going to be here. So there's going to be brands on here you recognize. There's going to be brands on here maybe you don't recognize. There's going to be brands on here maybe you expected to see or you didn't expect to see. You know, Michael and I, we kind of earmarked like a good handful of names. Pretty typical names, but then not so typical. How do you want to do this, man? What do you want to talk about first? Predictions. Let's do predictions.
I feel like everyone always starts with Tudor and Rolex. But we can only make so many Black Bay jokes every year. I want to maybe start talking about the things that we want to see that could be a little out of left field. And
okay,
one of the, you know, we were talking before, one of the ones that I would always love to see is something from Nomos.
Oh yes.
So Nomos is, you know, they're there this year, and it's almost a meme at this point, but people still really want a Nomos chronograph, and I'm pretty sure we still don't have that, but if they did that, and I'd dare to say in the silly name Ahoy Collection, which is their kind of very capable water resistant lineup.
I just think of Mr. Burns. Ahoy, ahoy.
Yeah, I don't think there's, I'm gonna like totally gonna mess this up if they do have a chronograph, but I'm pretty sure they don't.
I don't think they do. They have three hangers. They have a world time sort of ish complication.
They have some weird. Yeah, that's not a chronograph. Yeah, they still haven't done that. I think that would be killer.
I think it would be interesting. It's not out of the realm of possibility. The problem is, Nomos movements are true in-house movements. Like those are movements that they make in-house. And the current line of movements that we've been getting from Nomos have been the result of many different design generations and iterations. And there's a whole bunch of knowledge that they were able to build on and everything like that. If you were to run out and just do a chronograph, even if you put like a year or two worth of, you know, research and things like that into it, you don't have the same amount of field testing as you would and knowledge testing that you as you would from just having a three-hand movement be out there for, you know, 10-ish years. So if they do a chronograph movement, I feel like it's going to be way too expensive and like totally at a price point that doesn't make any sense just because of how difficult it would have been for them to engineer it.
Yeah, I think it would be expensive, and I think people probably wouldn't care. Yeah. Imagine several of the German brands coming together to sort of work on a chronograph movement that can be shared between them. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be nuts. Like a super group, like an 80s super group version of all the German brands coming together to put together a badass chronograph movement.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That'd be pretty sweet. I wouldn't say no to that.
I don't know. I don't know much. I think, to your point, that collection, the Ahoy collection, is just, to me, really, really expensive to begin with. So I'm looking at the, I don't have it pulled up here, but the Neomatic, Ahoy Neomatic 38 date, oh, with the sand dial. That looks so good. 4,320. And that's time and date.
That's tough, man.
So imagine a chronograph version of that, but I'm sure it would look pretty good.
It'll look great. So we'll see. But I think that's an appropriate no much prediction. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, you had some stuff too. What are you thinking?
I might be the only person that ever gives a shit that Chanel is at Watches and Wonders.
Yeah.
I love the Chanel J12 series. It is a series of top to bottom ceramic watches, ceramic case, ceramic bracelet, lacquer dial. Some elements are going to be metal. Like, I think the case back is metal and like the watch clasp is metal and everything like that. But for the most part, there it is. There's the silhouette. Why do I think this is so cool? I think these are such badass looking watches.
Still in what, black and white?
Black and white.
Those the only two colors? Oh, there's the white one. Look at that.
Black and white, man. So cool. If I were to make a prediction, there have been many different iterations and instances and versions of the J12. There have been chronograph versions. There have been quartz chronograph versions. There have been GMT versions. There's three-hand versions. There's all kinds of different dial designs and things like that. I would be really, really curious. And it's entirely possible this has been done before, and I just couldn't find it. What if Chanel on the J12 line jumped on the integrated bracelet hotness and did an integrated, like a fully, almost in like a Genta style, like integrated bracelet kind of sports watch vibe?
That'd be cool.
I think in the ceramic application, this whole like nose to tail ceramic application that they do, I think that would be fucking insane.
Is this Margot Robbie and Penelope Cruz?
I don't know. Everyone looks alike to me.
I had no clue they were like Chanel ambassadors or something.
I'm getting to that stage at my life. Everyone looks the same to me. And that's not like, oh, everyone's equal. I literally don't have enough effort to see the difference in people because I'm just tired all the time.
That can happen. I mean, there was an era of band rock music style that I participated in where we were all just clones. We had the same.
You're all playing the same album.
We had the same hair helmet, you know.
I love it, man. I think you're. I think that's exactly who these people are. But no, that would be. I would be very stoked to see that. I would still love one day to get a. Something from the J12 collection in my like everyday watch, like a rotation. But I don't know. There's just something about it. I think personally, the black one would be beautiful.
And I bet they take a hit also on the used market. I'm sure.
Oh man, yeah. I've seen some good prices.
Yeah,
I've seen some good prices. So. Really, I mean, definitely check them out if you don't know. Proper in-house movements, absolutely engineered beautifully. You know, yeah, it's Chanel, and like, what will my watch friends think? Fuck your watch friends. Get better friends. Just buy whatever you want. if the watch looks cool, get the watch. You know, so that's an interesting prediction. I think that would be because I think in most other senses, they've taken that J12 line as far as they can. In the last couple of years, they've just done like interesting dial designs or kind of motifs.
Diamonds and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Integrated bracelet sports style watch. Get it.
Someone picked now to tow their car, putting it on a flatbed. I hope you don't hear that noise, but whatever.
I don't hear anything.
Okay, great. That's
good. I just hear my son crying. Do you hear my son crying?
No, I don't hear him. Yeah,
maybe
good job.
They're canceling each other out.
Good job, StreamYard, on the noise cancellation. That's good.
Yes, yeah, good job, StreamYard. Thanks. Sorry we made fun of you in the beginning of the show. Oh man, you want to talk about Panerai? We talked about Panerai a lot last year.
Yeah, I've been I'm sure I've said it.
You have a fear. You have a Panerai fear, a Panafear.
Panafiristi.
You have a Panafiristi.
So we've had a whole lot of Luminors lately, basically. And yep. If you go to that, oh my gosh, there's people, there's cows, someone's
that I heard. Bark. Now I hear the dog.
My dog is barking. Sorry, guys.
It's real life, man.
We have a whole lot of Luminors, basically. I feel like Panerai is basically just the Luminor these days. I can't even, okay, you have to scroll over here to find the Radiomir. You don't really have many of them, actually, and they're kind of boring. I don't think we even have one that's like DLC coded or anything cool like that. I mean, we still have a Radiomir Minute Repeater Tourbillon GMT for 405,000 if you want it. But I want this collection to get a nicer refresh. Because they got rid of that one with the California dial. They got rid of the one, even some of the big massive ones that look very period correct and wartime correct.
Is that the fear? Do you think that's why they're phasing it out?
That's a good point. I didn't really think about that until now. Huh. It's a Tesla getting towed. Sorry, lady.
Still brought to you by Tesla.
She almost hit me walking my dog the other day, so whatever.
Oh, so it's a neighbor, so you know who it is.
Yeah.
All right, fuck her then. Her car can blow up. I mean, not with her in it, obviously, but like, you know.
Whatever. But yeah, this I want to see a refresh to this collection because I think with the Luminor, you still have some version of the base version or the base logo version, the Luminor Marina version where you have the running seconds. I think they've still stuck pretty close to those, but I think in the Radiomir, it's missing a lot of that very basic entry level Panerai look, if that makes sense.
That's a good point. There's nothing. Yeah. There's no,
there's this, this is the newest one. The Tre Giorni.
How much is this one?
It's a lot, but you know, even it's 7,100. It's kind of gimmicky with this little textured dial with this.
Oh, it's got this texture. Look. Yeah.
Where's the regular Radiomir with the black
just
dial?
I see what you say. Like the bait, like the PAM 015 version.
Yeah, exactly. There's
Radiomir in the Radiomir line. Yeah.
I don't think there's any equivalent to that. And it would be cool if something like that came almost at, you know, under this $5,400 price point. That'd be cool.
I mean, we could see something. I mean, I can never predict what Panerai is going to do.
Yeah.
It's just impossible, but it would be nice to see some Radiomir love.
Yeah. That's a very underserved collection. And the same goes, we were talking about IWC. I have their site pulled up, but IWC, oh, come on guys, of course you can have my location. All right, let me pull up the site here. So we're probably gonna get a lot of pilot watches. That's a thing.
I think it's a thing they do,
man. This white ceramic pilot
I was gonna say it's actually really beautiful.
I don't think I noticed that came out. That's really, that's kind of wicked. Yeah. It's better than a Moonswatch Snoopy, I'd say.
Not as cheap as one, but not as cheap as one. No. Even with scalping prices.
The Aqua Timer, dude, I told you you could have my location. Okay. This Aqua Timer collection has looked the same way for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed, if you're an IWC person, you've probably noticed, but these look very dated. And this that was the case with the Ingenieur lineup until they refreshed it last year. So I want to see new Aqua Timers. I don't care about pilots this year. You have plenty of them and you'll pepper those releases throughout the year. But this is definitely a collection that I think could have some new stuff.
I mean, in the same vein as them redoing the Ingenieur line. Yeah, it's entirely possible because you're right. These do feel a little like what's the pricing on these?
7,000 at least.
I think they realize most folks go to IWC for, you know, most popular things everyone knows IWC is it's pilot watches, and then like maybe if you get into it like the Portuguese or like chronograph collection or something like that. I think they realized it's a little hard to compete in the dive watch area, especially because I can see something like this trying to be competitive at a time period when there are maybe lots of different dive watch design sort of ideas or something like that. So it's just, but some kind of love here would be interesting, but the price point is a little tough to work with.
Yeah, give me a GMT diver.
Oh my God.
Or I think this needs a whole new case design, actually, because the generation just before this was very nice. It wasn't such a bulky looking case. It was a lot more streamlined.
It does feel bulky. You're right.
It's very. I think just the regular size is 44. I think.
Oh God.
Oh no. Sorry. 42. 42, and the lug width is 22 millimeters. But this time only one. is 14 millimeters thick.
Jeez.
They're just big chunky watches. I think they can be redesigned, you know. Maybe that's just me, but
I mean they definitely can be. I would be interested to see anything in regards to the Aqua Timer line. That would be cool.
That's my prediction for IWC. New Aqua Timers.
You heard it here, folks.
Sometimes I don't know about my predictions, but after the U50 Hydro, I feel pretty good.
I think you should take that shit and run to the top of the mountain with it, dude. That was you. You spoke it into existence. I don't care if it took years to develop that watch or whatever. Michael made it happen.
I can't be the only one, but yeah. Let's see. What else do we have?
What was that sound? What was that sound? I heard a sound.
Just a car. Just so much activity.
It sounds like a car that ate other cars. Like it just sounded like a really loud car.
Yeah, it was a big car. People like their loud cars here.
You want to talk Braymont? Super interesting.
Yeah, Braymont. I don't think they've been at Watches and Wonders before. I may be wrong, but we've always kind of admired the fact that they did their own. Gosh, I hope they're called Townhouse.
It's the townhouses. They had one in New York, and they had the Breitling townhouse over in England as well. And like, yeah, it townhouse. You get invited. They do the release there. They did their own at a time when Basel was still around. You know, RIP. They did their own watch show with, you know, blackjack and hookers, or maybe just blackjack. I'm not entirely sure. But like, that's the whole idea. That was the whole idea with the townhouse. And so it sounds like either they're doing both at the same time, or I haven't heard anything this year.
Yeah, well, they're going to be at Watches and Wonders this year. So, you know, whatever the case, I'm excited to see what they come out with. We just got a whole refresh on the S302 line, which was the GMT diver that I kind of test drove for them. And then they have still the very tempting versions now, that S302 with the rotating 24-hour GMT bezel.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know what I'd be looking to see from them. I think the military lineup is still pretty, it's kind of crowded. They have, what are these things called? I should probably look on this computer, but they have some old looking chronographs. I think they're called the Alt.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Let's see, we can share. One day we'll get this podcast thing right.
We've had 7 years. I think this is about where it's at.
It's about where it's at. As good as it's gonna get.
And I'm not mad. This is my happy space.
So if you go to the pilot watches part, there's just obviously a bajillion different pilot watch types for them. But this, what is this? The Alt 1 ZT.
Oh yeah. Okay, I heard that cow.
Yeah, that was, sorry about the cow.
That was straight up just like a cow soundboard sound.
Yeah, so these Pilot Chronos, I think are maybe due for a refresh. I've kind of always liked the look. It's cool how complicated they are, I guess.
What movements are in these?
Oh, this has to be some 7750 business here.
Just based on the configuration, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't Braemont trying to make a big push for like British made movements, or as close to British made as possible?
Well, I'm still learning about the new CEO, which is, I think his name is Davide Serrato. He was at Mont Blanc before and at Tudor before that, and was apparently heavily involved with the Black Bay 58 coming to life.
He's to blame.
So you have to wonder, if you look at this huge spread of watches, several different collections, you have military, you have pilots, you have divers and stuff like that. Yeah,
heard that one. Don't take them out, leave them in the track. It's perfect.
I can't take them out. I could just, whatever. Yeah, what would that guy do with this huge catalog of watches? I'm actually very curious and very excited to see what comes out, because I think these new S302s, the ones that I really like with that are just the GMT bezel, I think that was technically his first rodeo with Braemont. So eager to see what happens.
Should be cool. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they get antsy, those cows.
they're letting you know what's up, man. Let me think. Well, we talked about Breitling. Breitling's supposed to be there, right? We talked about hopefully seeing some more love injected into the aerospace line.
Breitling also just, they came out with a very simplified, so you know those time-only Navitimers that, I mean,
aren't Navitimers, yes.
Yeah, they're not Navitimers. They're called Navitimers, but they're not the chronograph version or whatever. They just came out with some pretty, pretty sweet looking GMT versions of those. So,
okay,
not as expensive, or yeah, a little more expensive than the time only version, and not as expensive as the chronograph versions. So that was pretty cool. I can appreciate that. I have no clue what they're gonna do other than a bajillion more Navitimers.
Yo, dog. Yeah. We heard you like Navitimers. Yeah, let's see. I think that's one I definitely can see more Navitimers. And then we'll see what else. I don't know. Every now and then, like, I think, you know, there have been some surprises, especially now that we're a few years into like new ownership, you know, when the brand went through that kind of revival and everything like that. And so
let's see, you like these watches, right? These,
I don't know what watches.
These Hermes H08s.
I do. Why must you tease me? I'm sitting here on a watch podcast saying, I can't wait for Chanel and Hermes's new releases.
Hey, these are pretty rad. Oh, these, this is cheaper than the Chanel ones. Interesting.
How much is this one? I can't see your screen very well.
$5,850.
Still a lot of money, still a lot of doll hairs, but no. So the Hermes H08 line. So Hermes has a history of producing watches, but usually they've been kind of weird, quirky novelty pieces, or they're, you know, kind of high fashion pieces. The Hermes H08 line is the first watch, in my opinion, that's more leaning towards something of almost like an everyday functionality wearer with some unique design tropes and aesthetics, you know, as is, or like built into the DNA of the watch, obviously. So this one here is titanium. You can just tell how beautiful the actual case material is. I'm also obsessed with the font on this watch. Look at the 8.
Yeah, the 8's, it's like a little minion almost. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Or a nesting doll, or it looks like the pop tab on a can.
Yeah, oh, that I can right? see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring down the value of this watch by really associating with terrible things. So, yeah, let's keep the minion pop tab can talk going. So I could try to get one of these, but I do predict that we will see some additional iterations on the Hermes H08 line. When the line first came out, it was just a three-hander with a couple different strap options. Last year, they did more strap options, more colors, but they also did a chronograph. I don't know if you remember that. That was pretty cool.
Yes, that I remember.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do this year. GMTs obviously is like the next logical step to go in, but I think it's very interesting to see something like this from Hermes, where people, okay, this is just my opinion. I feel like people should care about that watch a lot more than they do, but I also don't want them to because I won one. And if everyone likes it, I'm not going to get one.
I gotcha. let's short the Hermes watch. Let's bring down the value.
I don't know how to nosedive their stock. I don't know if that's like a phrase. I'm not a stock person. No, I'm not a stock guy. I'm not cool enough for that. I just spend money and hope one day it just sort of magically comes back like a boomerang. Isn't that what money's like? Money's like a boomerang, right?
That's exactly how it works. Yeah. I took some class that told me that, I bet.
But that's my prediction for Hermes. I think we're going to see more of a continuation on the Hermes H08 collection. I don't know if we'll see anything else, but I would love to see more pieces there.
I want to talk about this watch for a sec. This thing is called the Solar Graph.
Correct. Beautiful. I've seen it in person.
It's got to be a chronograph version for this year.
Solar quartz chronograph?
Yep.
Hell yes. I think that would be killer. I don't want... Okay, now I'm just being selfish. I don't want different case dimensions.
It might be a little thicker.
Might have to be a little thicker. I find that annoying, but it might have to be a little bit thicker. But no, this watch is beautiful. I think it would be very cool considering TAG's predilection for quartz chronographs in basically every single other one of their sort of collections. There are some collections that obviously don't have it, but most of them do. So like obviously all the Formula One pieces, obviously there's Aqua Racer quartz chronographs as well and everything like that. So I think, technically this is part of the Aqua Racer line. So yeah, just boom, slap a chronograph in there.
Is there a Carrera quartz chronograph?
I know there's a mechanical one
that I'm not sure of.
Enhance, let me Google it. Carrera. Okay, well let me fucking trip through spelling Carrera with one hand. Carrera, you think it'd be better typing with one hand by now.
That was my I don't know if that's a prediction, but it's definitely a want.
That can be a reasonable want. Carrera collection. I don't know. I'm only seeing stuff on automatic.
You're gonna pull up like 500 watches. I don't think it's gonna be easy to.
No, this is not something I'm gonna be able to figure out on the show. I did hear that as well. There is a Carrera auto quartz, or there have been Carrera quartz. Okay. So there is a precedent for that in that line as well. So yeah, Solargraph, chronograph. Say that 5 times fast. I think that would be cool. Let me see. What else is on here? Oh, you're pulling. Okay, perfect. Grand Seiko. I don't care. They'll figure something out. They'll find the new shade of the ocean to do or something. I don't really know. Or they'll find some different way of describing snow.
What was the crazy chronograph that you wrote about last year?
From Grand Seiko?
Yeah. It was
the something with a T.
Tentagraph?
Yes.
What it is?
True. Yeah, no, I actually think that's what it is.
Okay. That's a good guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you You nailed it.
It is the ten. That sounds like a boss monster I have to fight in Zelda. Tentagraph.
Rule of threes, man. Yeah, last year was the Tentagraph. Amazing technology, fucking boring looking watch. They put in a boring ass forgetful watch.
What is it? It's actually a chronograph.
It's a chronograph, yeah. And it was like super expensive.
$13,700.
Come on, man.
I think everybody just wants the Grand Seiko Spring Drive Divers in a normal case size. That's not super massive.
That would be amazing.
That's kind of like, it's the same thing as a Nomos chronograph. That's something people have been asking for a very long time.
That could be a fair prediction. Normal sized Grand Seiko Divers.
I'm optimistic for Grand Seiko this year because of that 37 millimeter 9F snowflake.
That's right. That thing was pretty cool. Okay.
That's a great way to start the year.
I'll give it up. That was pretty cool. I rag on Grand Seiko as a Grand Seiko owner. That was pretty cool. That was pretty damn cool. Let me think here in terms of the list. I mean, those are a lot of the big ones that I think are worth mentioning. I am interested to see what Vacheron Constantine, Constantin, however you say it, what VC does. I think those watches are fantastic. I don't know what they're going to do, but I feel like every time they do something, everything's so on point. The visual marketing is on point. The presentation is on point. The design of the watches themselves are usually on point. It is just a pleasure to see releases come through from Vacheron. So I don't know what they'll do, but I'm excited to see it.
There's something with both of us and Vacheron where they're at a show like this and, you know, you and I are talking about Tudors and Grand Seikos and whatever, but then we each pause for a moment and, you know, I might text you or you might text me and you'll just say, dude, that Vacheron.
Do we have like a moment of revered silence?
Yeah. And we both like something about that brand.
I find it interesting in that, and this is me being hyperbolic, but I'm trying to illustrate a point. If Vacheron existed in a world where there wasn't this fanaticism for watches and where there wasn't this idea of watch shows and crazy blah, 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 or watch competition, who's going to do the coolest blah, 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 I think they were doing exactly what they're doing now. They seem to operate in a sphere where they're just like, we really don't give a fuck what other people are doing. And there's just something about that feels so refreshing. I think to me, that's what it boils down as, you know, they don't care what everyone else is doing, what everyone else is thinking. They're very true to their brand in a way where they could exist in a vacuum and it would be awesome.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think that's what it is. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. All I know is I want an overseas.
Me too, man. So
we talked about that last episode. That's not going to happen.
I mean, that's really most of the brands that we were talking about. I think that's a good swath of predictions. And yeah. I like the fact that we did not talk about Tudor or Rolex, because who the heck knows?
Who knows? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Like, I want people to check out Two Book Watch Sounds. I want people to check us out and hear about things that they wouldn't hear anywhere else. I'll throw Alpina in there as well, because Alpina had a really cool release with the Extreme Automatic last year. Their entry into the integrated bracelet, stainless steel kind of sports watch world. I thought that thing last year was fantastic, and I'm very excited this year for maybe more iterations, maybe more colors, maybe more sizes. Although I think the dimensions on the one that was released last year in blue were fantastic. I think it's the Alpiner Extreme, Alpiner Automatic Extreme or something like that. Again, Alpina, another Swiss brand that is owned by Citizen Watch Co. But I would be very interested in seeing that. Also, Frederic Constant, I think that's always a very interesting brand with their whole ethos of doing this idea of like not accessible luxury, but high horology. I mean, I guess accessible luxury, high horology, something like that. They've had some releases that have really caught our eye in the past. And so I'm very interested to see how they interpret the trends going on around them into a format that they want to, you know, iterate on that in their own brand vision.
They're also a citizen as well, right?
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot. Their most recent release, I think they've very clearly shown that they're not effing around.
No.
With some cool of their recent stuff. So yeah, that'll be fun to see.
Yeah. But let's do this. Let's round things out. Let's let the kids get back to it. Let us know your thoughts on Watches and Wonders 2024 predictions. Obviously, there's way too many brands that are going for us to talk about. 54 brands that are going to be there, everyone. Yeah. That's more flavors than Baskin-Robbins. Oh, shit. Is it? What is it, 27?
I'm not a casual Baskin-Robbins enjoyer.
I haven't seen a Baskin-Robbins in 15 years. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just trying to pull from my memory of how marketing has been ingrained in me. Hold on. Like, give me 3 hot seconds to Google Baskin-Robbins.
This is important. In the meantime, yes. Very important. Comment if you're watching on YouTube. Build yourself up a yappetite and, you know, comment and let us know what your predictions are for Watches and Wonders
2031. It is more.
That's such a random number. 31.
Yeah, I don't know. That I just Googled it. That's what Google told me. I'm not going to look into it too deeply. There are more brands at Watches and Wonders 2024 than there are flavors under that case from 1984 at your local Baskin-Robbins. If you have, I don't even know if they're still around anymore. I haven't seen one in a long time. But yeah, like Mike was saying, let us know your thoughts on our picks. Let us know your thoughts on your picks. Let us know in the comments. Definitely keep hitting up the site, tuberwashnops.com. Follow us on Instagram as well. Follow us on YouTube as well. Keep an eye out for additional watch reviews that we're putting out there right now. I have a couple Christopher Wards I will be reviewing. My Yema review, it is up there now. I will also be reviewing my Manta. And if there is anything you do want us to review, let us know what's up. But otherwise, I think that's it, man. Is it that time? Is that sad time?
Say bye to the cows. My name is Mike.
And this is Kaz. Later, cows.